Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now the 14th of October. I can tell you, pitch black dawns at the minute under the cloud. But what a dry, crispy autumn leaves time we're having over most of the island since Storm Amy. And long may it continue, because the colouring and shades of the few bits of woodland we've left in the country would lift your spirits if they're down. However you are, your feelings are welcome on the WhatsApp today, 087 032 32 32. And for your longer letters, you can always email oliver@rte.ie. Now, Cadhé an Scéal, well, this morning we are meeting the boss of our four national museums, Lynn Scarfe. She is over, there's the Country Life one over in Mayo. There's the Kildare Street Hall of Treasures, which has the Tara Brooch and the Ardagh Chalice and the Bog Bodies and all that. You've got the Dead Zoo as well, which is closed at the minute for renovations, and Collins Barracks, which is a sprawling place of loveliness along the Liffey in Dublin, filled with wonders. And now they have many, many more of them because they're undergoing their biggest expansion in 20 years or so. And from this week you can go in and you can see these updated treasures, which are from more recent times, and they include even some people who are still alive. But it's 20th century, 21st century stuff, whether it's Rory Gallagher's guitar or Mary Robinson's suit from her historic inauguration. There's a tea set which was given to a woman basically obliged to resign due to the marriage bar. It's a lovely silver tea set, so she was very important as she was given it. A young woman, as the men sent her out the door. And all of these bits and pieces, they tell the story of us, don't they? Which I think is very curious. I think Mary Robinson, given the mood that we're in these days, would be no harm. This was her inauguration speech in 1990.
By men and women of all parties and none, by many with great moral courage, who stepped out from the faded flags of the Civil War and voted for a new Ireland, and above all, by the women of Ireland, Manon Aherin. The women of Ireland, Manon Aherin, who instead of rocking the cradle, rocked the system.
And Mary. And her fabulous Louise Kennedy suit from the inauguration, which will remind you, you can see it in your mind's eye right now, because what a speech that was. That gets up and going, doesn't it, of a Tuesday. By the way, the museum is also into co-curation, they call it, basically opening the doors for all of us, for us to decide what we'd like to see on display in our national museums. Now, there'll be a lot of frivolous kind of suggestions here. It has to be a significant object that kind of marked turning points in Ireland's story, independence, social change, gender equality, creativity, things like that. Would Siobhan McSweeney's traitor's cloak make it at this stage, or one of Paddy's Gansies? Or how about Jim Gavin's white trousers or Bertie's yellow ones? I'm looking forward to the more serious conversation with Lynn Scarfe later on this morning. 51551 is the text. And a more serious, well, that is a serious story, but this is a far more important conversation, really, about equipping people with the skills to respond. What happens if a friend of yours, or indeed whether they're students or colleagues at work, tells you that they've been sexually assaulted? Because research shows most people do go to a friend first, and we don't know what to say. Now, unfortunately, not very many men will talk to other, they basically tell nobody if they've been sexually assaulted. But that first conversation is very, very important. So what do you say? How do you respond? How do you not make a mess of it? Pádraig McNeila, who's head of School of Psychology in the University of Galway, is going to give us all of the help and advice on that later on this morning, which I think is an important conversation for sure. 0870 32 32 32, that is the WhatsApp. Will Ireland in action tonight? The Republic of Ireland football team, come on you boys in green, we'll be playing Armenia at home. That's World Cup qualifying. It's at 7 p.m. tonight, by the way. We have 1 point so far, and out of a possible 9 that you can get. Bottom of Group F. F, of course, very appropriate position for us to be in. And we must beat Armenia tonight, who we lost to. And then we have to beat Armenia. Portugal have to beat Hungary by many goals. And then we have to get points from those last two matches. We'll be at home to Portugal. We'll be away to Hungary in November. We've a 13% chance of making the playoffs. Mother of God. This is why yesterday I was talking about the other team on the island up north who were playing Germany last night at Windsor Park in Belfast. They lost. They lost 1-0 though, and they really pinned Germany to the collar, the Northern Ireland team, and there was a huge crowd there. 1-0 defeat came down to little margin. There was a disallowed goal and so on. And they didn't have Conor Bradley, the young Tyrone buck, who's a brilliant player, plays for Tyrone. People were surprised he didn't play down here, but it'd be handier to play up there. And he's a young fella. They don't care what flag they play under these days, do they? So much. So what's going on then with the North? The playoff is is looking good for them, basically, because they'll be playing Slovakia, who they've already beaten, and they'll be playing Luxembourg next, who they've already beaten as well. Thrashed them, in fact, 3-1. And it's a very young team. They're down, but definitely not out, according to the BBC report on this. And they're looking good for... They'd be looking good for qualification. It'd be very embarrassing if the bigger team down south didn't make it through. And there's more coverage today of the shock GAA club falling of giants. Frank Roach is writing about how the championship, the club championship, is wide open in the football after the fall of the Giants. And he says the implications of this high-profile attrition are clear. The race for Andy Merrigan Cup is wide open, more than it's ever been. And he lists out the two All-Ireland finalists from last January. Cool and Errigal are gone out. 2024 winners and the 2023 finalists who lost the final, Glenn, gone. Kilmacud, who won in 2023 and then were runners up the year before that, out. Three in a row champions, Cora Finn of 2018 to 2020, are all gone. And he's pointing out, finally, some pressure on the betting companies. The betting companies have no online All-Ireland prices. They have no idea who's going to win the All-Ireland Club Football senior Club Football Final this year, which will be in January. No idea, no clue. I think that's fairly cool. But another story caught our eye from Kildare. Ballymore Eustace, they won the football, the reserve football championship basically in Kildare against Rathcoffey. But a player from Rathcoffey is all the talk over in Kildare because he had all the attention. He played 51 of the 60 played minutes, looked as good as any player they lined out alongside. A fine performance from centre back. Why is there so much attention on this lad, Sean Mariarty? Sean is 57 years of age and he played most of the match. He was chatting to the Leinster leader last year. He said, I was 16 when I started to play with the second team. That's 1985. Then he was with the first team when he was 17 in 1986. He's been playing adult football for 40 years. Come on, Sean Mariarty. That's a real man. I'll nearly be able to play with three generations in the time frame. He's getting close to playing with some of the lads' grandfathers. That's an amazing story. I absolutely love that. Fair. That's when young fellas... They're not built today at all like this in the old days where men were men and you could pass a driving test full of brandy. Grr. Manly stuff. That's right. They're awake. They're awake nowadays by comparison. Look at this story, for instance. Codaline. They've only started. They've announced they are breaking up after 20 years together. Well, they must have started when they were five. Now, this is a very conscious uncoupling. Because Codaline, before this breakup, which is sad news for their fans, releasing an album and doing two big gigs in Cork next June and Malahide Castle. So they're going to Musgrave. The other park, whatever. Virgin Media Park it's called now. Was that Musgrave Park? I think it was. Next June, on sale. They have a billion streams on Spotify. The decision is bittersweet. We'll focus on the sweet bit of it. Yeah, it'd be grand. Men were men, to be sure. By the way, it is 10 days out till the presidential election and it feels like there's a big interview or a big, huge debate with just two people every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. That's what it feels like, doesn't it? Going over the same ground like a veritable JCB on a county council contract paid by the hour. You know, dig up the hole, fill in that hole, dig it up again, make some tape, dig the hole, nap time. It's going on and on and on. I noticed Simon Harris has resurfaced. He was clipped them there in the news. I was worried for the sake of comedy about his ultra low profile this last week or possibly more. I even noticed there was 4 or 5 days without a TikTok from the Thornish, which I thought we'd have to send somebody around. But he is gently back now, talking about Gaza, which is his favourite topic. Likes talking about Gaza, never going to the Americans as Minister for Foreign Affairs, ever saying anything to them. No, it's just safer to yell about it on TikTok. Seems to have been the policy. Maybe it's all down to him. the piece we're talking about now. What's going on with Eurovision? Because it is affected by the Middle East. Eurovision Song Contest, the EBU, which are the organisers, they've now postponed a vote they were due to have in a few weeks' time, in November, about whether Israel would be allowed to perform in the competition, which is in Vienna next May. And they've recent developments in the Middle East, of course, as we all know about, has prompted to cancel the meeting. They're not saying whether they're going to do the vote. It's postponed into December, which is very confusing for people. The Austrian broadcaster hosting it has been asking people, please don't boycott the contest. We need you. And like, it's not up to us whether Israel performs or not, because, as we know, RT announced it will not be taking part in the 2026 Eurovision if the participation of Israel goes ahead. So they're kind of waiting for the EBU to make a decision. Not the only one. Spain, Ireland, Slovenia, Iceland, the Netherlands have said they were either boycotting or considering boycotting next year's contest if Israel stays in. In fact, the Dutch broadcasters said they wouldn't even change their position if a ceasefire was reached. So that is very clear to them. And they're going to fudge it somehow in December, presuming hopefully peace remains by then. Surely to God, says you. Surely. There's a HRT story. Women who take HRT after menopause, less likely to develop dementia. This is in the Irish Times this morning. So women who take the hormone replacement therapy, basically, after menopause, much less likely to develop dementia. This is a huge study. It's been led by the University of Galway, but it's a worldwide thing because they're using an old study in the US, which was 77 years around the place. And they also show that starting menopause as a younger woman is indicative of a higher risk of dementia. So basically, this is a big issue because in the general population of the country and everywhere, women have the much higher risk of dementia than men. Do they suffer more than that? Everything? Anyway, women, nearly two thirds of people living with Alzheimer's disease are women, which is extraordinary. So this study says greater exposure to estrogen over your reproductive lifespan is associated with enhanced cognitive performance and larger brain volumes. Basically, having more children, having the higher estrogen levels and have later when menopause arrives means that your brain is working better, healthier, less chance of dementia, which obviously would have been good then for women years ago when they were having 10, 12 children, if there was anything good about that. We found entering menopause at the earlier age appears to be associated with an increased risk of dementia, while post-menopause HRT is associated with a lower risk of dementia. That is a fascinating study, and they will be translating the results into that, into care, no doubt, hopefully, says you. Photo Wildlife Parks announced that it's got a suspected outbreak of bird flu. This photo down in Cove, and they're going to close for 2 days as a report from FOTA to the Department of Agriculture, which is what they have to do. They've got a suspected case of the avian influenza, bird flu. So it'll be closed all day today and tomorrow, and having a look at things and how they're going on. It was a goose, sick goose, basically. This is now part of the excellent system we have in place to contain bird flu for many, many years, which I think has its origins in the kind of containment of foot and mouth in animal health and so on. So it's kind of, it's a story of, what's the word I'm looking for? Do you know, alertness, something like that. You know what I mean. What's happening in the texts on the museums? Oh, people want to co-curate various stuff at the museum. Of course, they do. Paddy Bonner's shirt from Italia 90, which marks the start of the Celtic Tigers, says Aidan. Well, there was a few years now in the gap there. It started a bit of optimism around the country, I think, because there was also the year of Mary Robinson's inauguration. Paddy Bonner's shirt, would he relinquish that? I wonder where that is. That has to be hanging in a pub somewhere in Donegal, wouldn't it? What about an Aran jumper? It, the story in the stitches and the wearing of them by the Clancy brothers, says Heather, not that one. Absolutely, that is a good idea. You know, creativity, cultural artifact, I'm up for that. I'm sure we're going to have the head of the museums in shortly. Would one of Christy Moore's sweaty vests or possibly his shovel qualify for inclusion in the museum, says Paul Little in Wexford? The shovel, for sure. Don't forget your shovel if you want to go to work. It's about the working classes and the ordinary decent people. And you mix that with Christy Moore's profound, profound impact on Irish culture and life. For sure. Something belonging to Christy Moore, for sure. And then there's an item to display in the museum would be cloth nappies and napisan. I remember when the change to disposable nappies happened and literally added hours to our days. Well, it reduced the hours, didn't it? In spare time. Yes, added hours. I should read the message before I do it. The rambling thoughts of a country granny, and that's Maureen in Cavan, because the cloth nappies, yeah, and the washing of them. Was it Green Hills or something was the brand? There was a Green something, I think, was the brand. Even I know that. Loads of messages coming in there. Look, it's 20 past nine. We have to get on with a bit of business here. I've got a tune which is going to cheer you up. Brand new tune. Is it working? Oh, it is, yes. He fires up eventually. There he goes. 51551 on the text.